Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, or text number 5. Yadi Siu Bahava Loke Shastaraha Dandadarina Kasya Shyatam Na Va Kasya Mrityu Cha Amritam Eva Va Yadi Shur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarinaha Kasya Syatam Nava Kasya Mrityus Chamritam Evava Yadi Syur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarinaha Kasya Syatam Nava Kasya Mrityus Chamritam Evava Yadi Syur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarina Kasya Syatam Nava Kasya Mrityus Chamritam Evava Mrityus Chamritam Evava Yadi Shur Yadishur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarina Kasya Satam Navakasya Mrityus Chamritam Evava Matajis Yadishur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarinaha Kasya Syatam Nava Kasya Mrityus Chamritam Eva Chama Yadishur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarina Kasya Syatam Nava Kasya Mrityus Chamritam Evava Yadishur Bahavo Loke Shastaro Dandadarinaha Kasya Syatam Navakasya Mrityus Chamritam Evava. So word for word, Yadi,
if,
Syuhu,
there are.
Bahavaha,
many.
Loke,
in this world.
Shastaraha,
rulers or controllers.
Dandadarinaha,
who punish the sinful men.
Kasya,
of whom.
Shatam,
there may be.
Na,
not.
Va,
or.
Kasya,
of whom.
Mrityuhu,
distress or unhappiness.
Cha,
and.
Amritam,
happiness.
Eva,
certainly.
Va,
or.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
In this universe, there are many rulers and justices who disagree about punishment and reward. Their contradictory actions will neutralize each other, and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize each other, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded. Please repeat. If in this universe there are many rulers and justices who disagree about punishment and reward, their contradictory actions will neutralize each other, and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize each other, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded. Purport. Because the Yamadutas had been unsuccessful in carrying out the order of Yamaraj, they doubted whether Yamaraj actually had the power to punish the sinful. Although they had gone to arrest Ajamil following Yamaraj's order, they found themselves unsuccessful because of the order of some higher authority. Therefore, they were unsure of whether there were many authorities or only one. If there were many authorities who gave different judgments, which could be contradictory, a person might be wrongly punished or wrongly rewarded, or he might be neither punished nor rewarded. According to our experience in the material world, a person punished in one court may appeal to another. Thus, the same man may be either punished or rewarded according to different judgments. However, in the law of nature or the court of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there cannot be such contradictory judgments. The judges and their judgments must be perfect and free from contradictions. Actually, the position of Yamaraj was very awkward in the case of Ajamil, because the Yamadutas were right in attempting to arrest Ajamil, but the Vishnudutas had baffled them. Although Yamaraj, under these circumstances, was accused by both the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas, he is perfect in administering justice because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he will explain what his real position is and how everyone is controlled by the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jainatas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pabuni Chananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Drubhyasya Kripasana Vevita Paritana Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, we're beginning a new chapter, and this chapter is entitled Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. So, a very wonderful chapter, because later on in the chapter, Yamaraj will give some very nectarine instructions to the Yamadutas. It appears that up to this particular point, they were not aware of a higher authority, because here they couldn't believe. They were completely under the impression that Yamaraj was a supreme authority and that they couldn't understand of any higher authority. So they became very unsure. And we'll be reading verses in the future here that this insecure situation made them very angry. They became very disturbed at Yamaraj. They felt that they were cheated by him. And this created a lot of discomfort. And they also became very enthralled at the beauty of the Vishnu Dutas. They never saw such beauty. And that was very mesmerizing for them. In fact, they were more concerned about the beauty of the Vishnu Dutas than anything else. They couldn't believe that there were such beautiful living entities. But basically, they became very upset. And it's apparent that they didn't know about this. So it was a little bit contradictory in their mind that they were always very successful in their pursuit of a simple living entity. And they usually got their catch. They were never stopped. So this is a very amazing type of situation for them. It kind of reflects the conditioned souls in the material world that have no understanding of the Supreme Lord. They are only understanding the material energy of the Lord, this prakriti. And they worship this prakriti. Prabhupada describes that the scientists, they're like Durga worshippers. You know, like in Bengal, different parts of India, they have this Durga Puja, where they worship Durga. And they worship her for so many benefits and boons. Prabhupada said that the scientists are just like these Durga worshippers. They're worshiping the material energy, and they're trying to figure out how to utilize it, the material energy, for their sense gratification. And they're very determined. They're so determined. Scientists, they can continue work 24/7 in order to create the most amazing kind of contraption. Like we see the cell phones and iPads and iTouch and microscopic things. You can imagine how much effort and energy goes into this type of control of material nature. I was thinking the other day how many people Google must have that are sitting in front of a computer screen all day just trying to put in information and to give us information how to enjoy at an instant. You can, all of us have done it. We get on Google and you just Google something. And how quick does it come up? You can practically become a doctor off of Google. You can know about anything. You can self-diagnose all kinds of things. And it's incredible. Like about, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago, there was a very famous actor. He was a comedian. I can't remember his name. But what he did is that he was a young boy, and he wasn't very enthusiastic about life in general. So his mother put him in front of a TV set. This is a whole movie. And the mother put him in front of a TV set. And he just watched TV all day. And just by watching TV all day, he became very knowledgeable. And almost he became like a pundit, a material pundit. And he became so revered in his knowledge that eventually he became the talk of the city, the talk of the country, the nation. And finally, he was almost requested to become the president of the United States. And he never had education, never went to school his whole life. He just watched TV. So, of course, this is a farce. But the idea is that you can see some people are so absorbed in the material energy, and they worship the material energy so sincerely, they become so knowledgeable that they can even pretend like they know something, that they're actually somebody. And they think that. They actually believe it. although they're very foolish because they don't understand the real purpose of life. So Yamaraj, he'll explain those things to the Yamadutas, that there are different kinds of people, those that really know the purpose of life and those that don't. And Yamaraj will instruct the Yamadutas that, you know, find me those individuals who have no desire to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those are the people that we want. And he'll explain about the chanting of the holy name. And here Prabhupada says that Yamaraj's position was very awkward in the case of Ajamil, because he had never explained to the Yamadutas who Lord Vishnu is. And he became a little bit in an awkward situation, but he also became very ecstatic. He became very happy to hear that the Yamadutas finally heard something about the holy name of the Lord. And in that way, he felt he had an opportunity to preach, to speak about Lord Vishnu. And this made him very happy, very ecstatic. So he was happy to take the take advantage of a situation where he could preach about something in relationship to Krishna, because his association, you just think about his association, it's the Yamadutas. Can you imagine the kind of personalities he lived with? And even though he lived with these individuals, he was still considered to be a Mahajan, one of the greatest personalities in understanding the instruction of the Supreme Lord. So he was a Mahajan, but his position was that he lived with the most fallen souls, that their purpose was to just dig in and pull out the soul from the body that's very simple. And that was his association. So you can see they were not very intelligent living entities, very low in the understanding of the purpose, but they just believed everything that Yamaraj told them. So same thing as us in the conditioned world. We just believe everything that the scientists tell us, or those that are researching the material energy. And we believe them wholeheartedly. And you can see years later that just like in my particular lifespan, there have been so many things that have been discovered to be so, you know, not real or not true, just in my short span of life. What to speak of hundreds of years? So many things have changed. So many things have been false or cheating, the cheating propensity, because these things are all man-made. That's why. And they're trying to worship the material energy, which is ever mutable. It's always changing. And they get mixed up. What's that verse? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmini sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartahamiti manyate. This is what they're worshipping. They're worshipping the three modes of material nature. And the bewildered spirit soul under the influence of this material energy. They're thinking that they're in control. They think that they have everything, they understand everything. But in actuality, everything's being carried out by the material energy. Everything that we do, because we're enveloped enveloped in this modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, and we have no understanding. We don't know how this is going on. You talk to someone, you tell them that God is in control, they just can't believe that. But Krishna says so many times that he is in control. Maya yakshena prakite suyate cha charam sa chara charam. Krishna says so many times that he is the person that's behind everything that's situated in the material world. And he's there controlling it. Ishvara sarva bhutanam vide deshu arjuna tishtati. He's there as a super soul within every living being. And he's controlling all the wanderings, everything. So this is very difficult for conditioned souls to understand. And even for the Yamadutas, this would be very difficult. But This is the purpose of meeting a pure devotee or Mahajan, because this personality is freed from the three modes of material nature. They're transcendental. They've transcended the pushings of the material energy. And they've understood who the Supreme Lord is. And this is the position of Yamaraj. He's beyond the scope of the three modes of material nature. He'll explain to them how Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. Savasya chaham riti sannivisto matasmitya jnanam apohanam cha. That Krishna is in each and every living entity, and he's giving us knowledge. He's giving us forgetfulness and remembrance of him. This is how we, this is our position. We're actually helpless. We have nothing. As we said, we come into this material world with nothing, and we leave with nothing. Simply naked, coming in and naked going out. But in the meantime, we spend so much time. We struggle and we fight so hard to acquire so many possessions. And we try to work so hard to enjoy this material creation. We give everything we have for it. And we see that the modes of material nature, they're very unforgiving. Very unforgiving. You can become completely absorbed in this passion and ignorance, but you can become burned at any moment. At any moment, we can be burned. Just like fire. Fire has its good attributes. You can cook with fire. You can use it for protection, for heat, for light. But it has its other attributes, which are very dangerous. It can kill, maim. And it's not by no discretion. The fire will burn a child like an adult. So unless one has knowledge or understanding of the modes of nature, they'll work on us. They'll beat on us. And they'll make us submissive. They'll submit us. But still, we see that the living entity, due to so many misunderstandings, will fight and work so hard in order to try to enjoy the material energy. Dayato vishayam pumsham sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamakoda vijayate. That it's described that the living entity, when we contemplate the object of the senses, and this is what we do every day, we contemplate so many desires. But it's described that when we contemplate these desires for sense enjoyment, we actually develop an attachment for them. We become attached. And from this attachment, anger arises. We become angry. You know, when we want something due to some mode of material nature, specifically passion, and when we want that thing, we become so attached to it. And then we become angry because we can't enjoy it properly or fully. But you see that our tendency is that we contemplate from one thing to another. It's not that we contemplate one thing and that's it. But then we find ourselves throughout the day contemplating so many things constantly. And no wonder in Kali Yuga we are so upset, so disturbed by anything, by the drop of a hat, as they say. You just drop a hat, and there can be an argument. Why? Because there's something there in relationship to contemplation of the senses, and we become attached to controlling something or someone, to enjoy something or someone. And the minute that that's being in any way hampered or disturbed, we become angry. So this is the nature of the material energy. And of course we know that our desires for enjoyment, this lust, as said Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna Samud Maha, Mahasana Mahapapa Vidhi Enameha Vairinam, that this lust, this is the all-devouring enemy of the living entity. It's all-devouring, you know, you just,
it's very, very difficult to overcome. And this is why we have to see Yamaraj. This is the, this will be the main reason. Now, this lust has so many variables to it. There's a lust for power, a lust for controlling, lust for eating, the lust for sense enjoyment. There's so many desires that incorporates this word lust, a lust for life. And all these things create so many disturbances, and it's the all-devouring enemy of the living entity, of this world, of this whole world. And we see that it's very difficult to overcome. So we as devotees, we should see the instructions that will be given by Yamaraj to be very beneficial for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. The devotee realizes that at every step there is some difficulty. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. There's a difficulty at every step. Every step of our life is some kind of danger. You know, we're here today and we're in Krishna consciousness and we enjoy being here, chanting, taking prasadam, having association. These things are very wonderful activities and they make us feel very protected. And that is Krishna consciousness. Because this padam, padam, advipadam, this is for those that are non-devotees. Krishna has said so many times in Bhagavad Gita that he's there to protect his devotees. This is not applicable to devotees because devotees are always thinking of the Supreme Lord and how to serve the Supreme Lord. So these are the individuals that the Yamadutas should not touch. Because the Vishnu Dutas, although not always visible, is described later on that the Vishnu Dutas are not always visible. The Yamadutas could never see them. But they're there. And the minute that there is some material protection needed, some kind of protection needed by the devotee, the Vishnu Dutas, they protect. Somehow or other, I'm sure all of us have experienced some very harrowing situation in life. Maybe you haven't, but some of us have experienced some situations that if it would have been, if you think back about them, they bring horrific thoughts to your mind. You think, my God, how did I live through that circumstance, an accident or some kind of a circumstance? How is it that we live through it? And it was actually by the protection of the Supreme Lord. Because as devotees, as Prabhupada says in a purport, that you know, we just get like a token. We're just experiencing token situations in this life. They're just simply like a slap on the hand. So our purpose is to become sincere devotees in the execution of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, sarva dharmam parityajam mam ekam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ikshami masuchaha. That he'll protect us. We just simply have to drop all these false designations, these religious thoughts and actions. We simply have to stop all these isms and just surrender to Krishna. And of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, we just simply have to just listen to this particular pastime in the sixth canto of Ajamya to get a clear understanding of the importance of chanting Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama eva kevalo kalo nasteva 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 gatyanyata. If we simply just chant the holy name as instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we as devotees, we can become pure devotees. And as pure devotees, we'll have a desire simply to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One will give his life to preach this message. And this is the power of chanting. This is the result of this chanting of the holy name, that one will want to give one's life in order to spread the message. And that'll be a natural tendency. It's not like it's an artificial imposition.
It won't be artificial and it won't be an imposition upon us, but it'll be a desire that will automatically manifest from chanting the holy name properly. This is the result of it. This is what will happen. We'll all have that sincere desire to endeavor to give Krishna to everyone. And you see that this was Prabhupada's mood. As a pure devotee of the Lord, that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to just go out and he wanted to give Krishna to whoever he met, whoever he saw. And he gave his life for that purpose. He gave his life. He even put his life on the line, so to speak. When we read his history about coming over to the United States, two heart attacks on a boat, so many difficulties that he experienced. But still, he didn't give up. Even though when he was in New York, Srila Prabhupada, it says that he would go to the dock regularly, find out when the next boat was leaving back for India. You can imagine what kind of challenge it was, what kind of distress it must have been. But Srila Prabhupada just would go there just to check. But he knew he wasn't going to get on the next boat. But he just went there just to relieve his anxiety or his distress. And then he just went back and continued with his activity of giving Krishna consciousness. So we ourselves, if we try to be in this preaching movement, this is what this is, a preaching movement. If we think we're going to be in this movement and not feel any distress or anxiety, then, you'll find out for yourself. Because this is what it means when you want to preach Krishna consciousness. But we get the strength from chanting. We get the determination, the resolute desire from this chanting and following the instruction of the guru. And then you may go back and forth and, you know, you may keep your phone numbers of your mom and dad or your girlfriend or boyfriend. And then you may look at it every now and then, but then you'll wake up and say, no, I can't do this. I got to get back into it. So we may keep certain things on the peripheral, you know, just to look at it every now and then. But then one day, you'll have to take that phone number, that address, and you'll have to just throw it in the garbage. And that day that you throw it in the garbage, that's the day that you've surrendered to Krishna. And then when you've surrendered, you've thrown that phone number away, that getaway car, you know, you got to get rid of that getaway car, sell it, or throw the keys away. And the day that you throw the keys away to the getaway car, then we can begin to relish and taste Krishna consciousness. Because then you fully surrender. Like there's this famous thing where some great pundit of how to become an expert in, you know, life. He gives an example of some king warrior that came from a far land to fight another country, another kingdom. And the way he did it is he parked the boats just on the outskirts of the city. And then he had everybody go into everybody from all his soldiers. He had all his soldiers go and get on a boat and go to land. And then on the beach, as they were all landing there, everybody turned around and looked at the boats and they were being burned. There was no passage back. So his speech was, this is it. We either victory or we die. This is what we do. We're either victorious here or we die. So sometimes we may have to take that understanding. Take that boat, burn it. Take that getaway car, get rid of the keys. And then surrender to Krishna, and then we get a taste for Krishna consciousness. These things will all be explained here to the Yamadutas by Yamaraj. And how to leave alone those individuals who have thrown away the getaway keys. All right, I'm over. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Anybody has one question or comment?
All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.